Welcome to HIT Consultant Podcast Series. In this podcast, we will be speaking with Tim Fowler, Commercial Director, Wireless Division at Cambridge Consultants. In part two of this three-part podcast series, Tim discusses some of the key challenges of Bluetooth Low Energy, regulatory technical requirements of Bluetooth Low Energy, and his thoughts on the future growth of mobile health and connected health.
Now, what in your opinion are some of the key challenges in using Bluetooth Low Energy?
I guess there's a number of them that people need to be aware of, but typically it does come down to the end-to-end model, understanding how you intend to get the data from the device to the back end. There are some subtleties to do with how the smartphones operate, particularly if you want to develop a device that can work on multiple platforms. Then there are some subtleties to do with how the smartphones operate that you really need to understand in order to get the best user experience, and ensuring that you have a good solution for handling the association, so that what happens when I want to say, I've just bought a medical device, I want to associate it with my cell phone, making that straightforward and making sure that the process of going from procuring the device and ensuring that the app is installed correctly on the phone is straightforward. There are some subtleties also to do with what happens when the link is then broken and reconnected. How do you stop the Bluetooth device from consuming a lot of power trying to reestablish the connection every time you break the link? These are the sorts of areas where sort of expert attention is beneficial. Making a Bluetooth energy link work isn't too complicated. Getting the best power efficiency from it requires a bit of experience.
Is Cambridge Consultants working with other companies to help them meet, regulatory and technical requirements for using the Bluetooth Low Energy as well as the application aspect?
So quite a lot of our work tends to be on the device end. Because we are used to for designing regulated medical devices for drug delivery, surgical and interventional devices, and diagnostic equipment. So those are the areas in our, in our medical division that we have expertise in. And in the wireless domain, we have expertise in wireless regulatory issues. Then we have expertise on sort of both sides. How do you get it approved from a wireless regulatory point of view, and also how do you get it regulated from a medical regulatory perspective? And because of that, we have to keep a close eye on the sort of FDA's position on the use of smartphones in a sort of regulated medical service. There's a move towards a sort of wider acceptance of smartphones in that. I have to admit, I'm not a regulatory expert, but there is definitely a move by the FDA to become more open to accepting smartphones in a regulated medical service. Where that isn't the case, of course, it is possible for some instances where the service has a constraint where a smartphone doesn't fit the mold, it's possible to use alternative devices as the manager, which may be bespoke to the service. So that's another area we get engaged in.
And in your opinion, how ideal of a technology is Bluetooth Low Energy for integration within the connected health space?
For a wide number of applications, it is exceedingly well-suited. I'm not going to say it's uniquely well-suited, because in actual fact, we try and remain technology agnostic where we can. So we have projects that use other technologies in other connected health applications. But there are some applications, particularly where the use of a smartphone is beneficial, where the adoption of Bluetooth Low Energy within smartphones in itself makes it a very, very strong candidate, because clearly there's an economic advantage to both the user and the medical equipment provider and the medical service provider if the marginal cost of providing the benefits of connectivity are low. So smartphone adoption, if Apple's adoption of Bluetooth Low Energy sort of late last year triggers the general adoption of Bluetooth Low Energy in all phones and smartphones to be high, then there comes a point when there's a very strong infrastructure argument to say that these devices are very well suited to mHealth applications where they need to pass information that's collected from a regulated sensor, if you like.
No, recently I read
a question. So, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no problem. So recently I read in the press release, you were quoted as saying that you see imminent growth in the health space. So what are your thoughts on the advancement of mobile health, connected health, you know, even consumer health, and how can we utilize technology in a way that can impact consumer health?
I think that the adoption of health, of connected health, is set to grow. I wouldn't like to say exactly when the fast ramp is really going to kick in, or how quickly the sort of adoption rate will shift to being sort of mass adoption. And the reason for that is because mHealth is about the health. It's about how the health outcome is going to be administered. I think there's certainly from the work that we see, there's a combination of sort of bottom-up health device manufacturers enabling connected health by making connectivity available on their general devices. And from the top down, there's a mode to look at what health conditions can benefit from the application of connected health. And we can see a number of people who have propositions where they're looking to address a particular condition or set of conditions by combination of techniques. At some stage, medical practitioners have to prescribe a course of action to a patient. So if you're talking about what I'd put squarely in the sort of health space, it will come down to a behavior of health practitioners seeing the benefit to them and their patients, such that they prescribe it in the same way they might prescribe a drug or a wheelchair or any number of other things that they recommend for the benefit of their patients. And the evidence that we see is that the early adopters in the sort of health recommenders are already using these technologies. They're already starting to deploy them for health benefits. And the market shows considerable number of cases where people's health have been improved by the use of connected health. I don't think we're at the stage where that has gone from sort of early adopter to early majority yet. And I think that's partly to do with the complexities of funding in the health sector, whether you're in a sort of a European-style, heavily state-funded sector, or in the US, where it's heavily insurance-funded, there's still complexity in how what a practitioner wants to do at the is like sitting in front of a patient and how the reimbursement models will work. But certainly the pretty well everywhere, we can see strong evidence of the early adopters fighting their way, you know, people who are willing to fight their way through that complexity in order to deliver some benefit to their patients. And typically in markets where that happens, we see more adoption follow once, if you like, the mass system's able to work out how to scale it. And that, in this case, it's not about scaling technology, it is about scaling adoption.
Now, yeah, I think that's a good point.
Now, I think I think we're at the very earliest embryonic stage of understanding where connected health benefits will go. And if you like, it's a bit like where the internet was in the sort of early to mid 90s. At that stage, you know, a lot of people would say, well, is it much more than a, you know, glorified brochure or something like that? And here we are today, huge amount of interaction and business is done via the internet, such that it's changing retail, it's changing travel, it's changing health provision, it's changing all sorts of stuff. And I think mHealth and connected health more than mHealth is at its very early stage as to what we'll see. So you can imagine, you know, it's crude to call it that, but we're sort of at connected health 1.0. And we're going to see a similar evolution in connected health that we saw in the internet in general, in that initially we're taking devices we know today that users use in the way they use them today and making them connected. But in actual fact, as we go forward, it's quite likely that we'll find that the connected model actually makes us think that doing things differently would also be beneficial. So we might then see the types of devices changing because the treatments that are possible once you get connected are different, and so therefore the boundaries that currently exist between a, you know, a glucose meter and an insulin pump and a something else may start to shift. And so I suspect, you know, if we look forward many years, 10-15 years, then the sort of connected health ideas we see around today will seem somewhat simple compared to what is available later. But with all of these things, actually, the only way to find out is by trying and by learning what's possible. It isn't going to suddenly, we're not going to suddenly leap from very little connected health to the utopia of connected health. We are going to see the industry finding its way. And one of the things I often get asked, particularly by mobile operators, because they see, you know, mHealth as being mobile health and therefore big value for mobile operators. A lot of them say is, what's the killer business model? How, you know, what's the thing that's going to really drive everything? And I think the answer to that at the moment is, I don't think anyone knows. I think the only thing we do know is that there's a very high probability that connected health or mobile-enabled connected health will transform the way health services are delivered. But the only way to drive that success is to be engaged in it. And so those parties that are actively participating, are innovating, and are learning at this stage are the ones who are likely to be able to shape that future and therefore reap the most rewards. And those people who are watching and waiting are probably going to either be forced then to participate later only by acquisition, or in some commoditized manner.
Today's podcast series was brought to you by HIT Consultant. Thank you and have a great day.